where basically the generalization amounts to replacing the role of the symmetry group by a certain defect with an appropriate algebraic structure. So one of the advantages of this approach is that many of the standard results on orbifolds can be recovered in a simpler or more conceptual way in this defect approach. And this can be then directly carried over to the generalized setting, because it turns out that the only thing that plays a role is this special algebraic structure of the defect. So here I will focus on the particular case of n equals 2 Landau-Ginzburg models. So these are simply two-dimensional theories that describe many n equals 2 superconformal field theories. And this is in particular true for Calabi-Yau compactifications in the stringy regime of the Kalon moduli space. And one of the advantages of dealing with Landau-Ginzburg models is that here defects have a very explicit description in terms of so-called matrix vectorizations. And it turns out that using this defect approach and these matrix vectorizations, one can actually compute arbitrary topological correlators in the generalized orbifold theory. So this includes quantities like D-brane charges or contributions to effective superpotentials or actions, defect action on twisted bulk fields. Okay, so let me very briefly review defects in two-dimensional field theory. So these are simply one-dimensional interfaces separating two theories together with some gluing condition on the field. So one special kind of defect is a boundary condition where one of the theories is trivial. And also this holds to some extent also the other way around, namely one can view a defect as a boundary condition in the doubled theory. This goes via the so-called folding trick, where you can imagine that the defect, so you can imagine folding the worksheet along the defect line, and then viewing the defect as a boundary condition in this doubled theory, where you have to flip the orientation of one of these theories. So this is the folding trick. So this would indicate that, well, there's nothing new about defects, but this is actually not true, because there's more structure to defects than to boundary conditions. This can be seen, for example, because defects can form junctions where more than two defects can meet. So here in each of these regions, you can have possibly a different two-dimensional theory. And the fields that are localized at these junctions are called junction fields. So now we usually want the defects to preserve some of the original symmetry of the two theories. For example, the conformal symmetry. So this condition says that we preserve some diagonal energy momentum tensor. And there are then two special cases of conformal defects. One case is the totally reflecting case, where the defect is simply a boundary for both of the theories, as you can see. And the other case is the totally transmitting one, where so these are also called topological defects, where the energy momentum tensor is continuous along the defect line. So these will play the main role in my talk. So as you can see, simply a necessary condition for the existence of topological defects is that the center charges on both sides are equal. So
May I ask how do you define your theory? Just fields, for example, you write an action.
I mean, this is general. I don't specify at the moment. I don't specify the theory precisely. I mean, this can be some CFT. It doesn't have to have a priori and a Lagrangian formulation. At the moment, I'm general.
And so to consider them together? Should you have, for example, equal number of fields or I don't know?
No, not necessarily. No. Okay.
Does supersymmetry play a crucial role here?
What I said so far, of course not, but later on I will discuss n equals 2 supersymmetric models. Yeah. Okay, so for topological defects, one has the property that all correlators are invariant under deformations.
Also, another question. When you equate the energy momentum tensors, so do you mean as the equation is an operator equation?
Yeah, those are operator. Yeah.
So it means for general configuration?
Yeah. Part. This is on the quantum level. So when one has topological defects, then these can be in particular used to map objects of one theory to objects of another theory. So the way this works is, for example, you can take some bulk field in theory T1 and now encircle it with a topological defect X. And now, since this is topological, you can shrink this to zero size and thereby obtain a new bulk field in theory T2. So similarly, you can do this for boundaries, where this process is called fusion. So again, you take a boundary condition in theory T1 and fuse it with the, so bring this defect to the boundary and thereby obtain a new boundary condition in theory T2. And similarly for defects and the corresponding boundary or junction field. So these operations are non-singular for topological defects, but in general, for defects that are not topological, this will be singular. Similarly, as when you bring together two local operators, you obtain singularities. So in some of the applications of general defects in two dimensions is in the study of renormalization group flows. This was done in this paper, most recently for the case of Virasoro minimum models. In this paper for the case of n equals 2 minimum models. So the idea is basically to construct a defect that interpolates between the UV and the IR theory, and this way you can map the UV operators to the IR operators. And similarly, one can also study marginal deformations, and in particular, how what is the effect of such deformations on D brains, and also some other topics like order-disorder dualities and so on. Okay, so this was just a brief review of defects in two dimensions. So let me now describe how orbifolds can be formulated.
Sorry,
in terms.
Can I ask a question? What is a topological defect?
Well, here's the definition. So this is those are defects. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so now I want to describe how orbifolds can be formulated in terms of topological defects. So recall that in the case of ordinary orbifolds, one has some bulk theory T with some finite symmetry group G. And then the orbifolding procedure consists of two steps. So in the first step, one introduces new twisted fields, which satisfy such a twisted periodicity condition. And in the second step, one projects to the fields that are invariant under the group action. So this is then a natural counterpart from the defect perspective. Namely, one can take the same theory T and now first take the identity defect, so this doesn't do anything. And then to take the defect IG, that's the twisted identity defect, which precisely implements the group action. And then you can simply see that such a junction field between I and IG can be naturally identified with such a twisted field. So this is the first step. And in the second step, we have to act on this twisted field with some group element. And in the defect language, this is implemented by encircling it with the defect IH. And then, these defects are always topological because G is a symmetry of the theory. And now we can shrink this to zero size and demand that this is invariant under this action. Okay. So now you can trivially assemble all of these defects to their superposition to one bigger defect AG, and then these are the twisted fields, and this is the orbifold projector. So now the idea of this generalization is now to allow any defect A that is that gives rise to some sensible enough orbifold theory. So it turns out that what this means is that the defect has the structure of a separable Frobenius algebra. So this whole idea of generalized orbifolds goes back to this work. This is in the context of rational conformal field theory, and this was later also studied for topological field theories and also Landau-Ginzburg models. So what this algebraic structure means is first that we have some notion of multiplication. So that means there's a special junction field between AA and A. And this multiplication basically gives rise to the OPE between the twisted bulk fields. And we require this OPE to be associative. Furthermore, we require that there's some distinguished element, the identity, which can be identified with the unique untwisted vacuum of the theory, which composes as the identity under the OPE. And furthermore, we also require the Frobenius property and separability, which will guarantee the existence of non-degenerate bulk pairings that we have a well-defined orbifold projectors. So there's one further condition that I won't assume from the beginning, which is the symmetry of this algebra. And it turns out that at least in the case of n equals 2 Landau-Ginzburg models, this condition is equivalent to the existence of the spectral flow operator in the orbifold theory. Okay, so now you may wonder if there actually exists some non-trivial examples of defects that have such structure other than this AG. And this turns out to be the case. So there's actually a whole class of such algebras of this form. So where X is a topological defect between theory T1 and T2. Yeah. Which notation? Why this is represented that way? So this goes back to this slide. Well, but IH is also such a defect that it implements the group action. And so the action on this twisted field corresponds to, you know, shrinking this defect around phi g. Okay, and then you can sum this. You can take the superposition of all such defects, and then this will be the orbifold projector. Okay. You sum over the group elements. Okay.
what is called A?
Pardon?
What is called A?
Well, this is the definition of A. It's the superposition of these defects. Okay. So and now.
Superposition of what defects?
You might want to explain what does it mean to superimpose defects.
Oh, so you can on the classical level you can think of it as well as superposition of the gluing conditions, but you can also think of it so these defects correspond on a quantum level to operators in the theory in the two, and this would be simply the sum of the superposition of these operators.
Are the defects, for example, in 1 plus 1, is supposed to be located at the fixed point of this group transformation?
The fixed
point? This G, so that...
So these junction fields, these correspond to the twisted fields, and these should be invariant under the group action. Okay.
So you mean A is just a list of all possible defects, like this?
It's a sum.
Sum, yeah. In this particular case, in general, I don't assume that it has this particular form.
We can understand sums of defects is that if you just look at what if you have a space, a long space, so if you're looking at a hyperspace of the theory on the line, a defect is a modification of this hyperspace. And you add this together, you're adding together all these modified, all these possible modifications. You just take a theory which has a set of copies of the same hyperspace modified in different ways. Basically, you're saying you have some boundary conditions on the fields, and you say, okay, we put integral with these fields that like, are either equal to this or equal to G actually on this or G prime actually on this.
So
you put integral is the sum of.
That's what you mean. You consider all possible defects.
Sorry.
Okay.
Well, except that I think a generic defect in a non rational CFT is of this type or not? The general
no.
No. So these are very special ones.
This IG? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think that these are very special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's very, very special.
Yeah. Then how do we get the properties of algebra? For example, A cross A to A.
I'm not sure if I understand the question. So,
for example, how do we get A?
In this particular case, you mean? Or
yes, in the middle of the slide, A multiplied by A, for example.
Well, this is the data that defines the algebra. And this can be thought, so this means that there's some special junction field between AA and A. I'm not sure if I understand the question.
What's wrong with the structure constants are?
Yeah, I mean, so in this group case, you would have, you would have something like, if here you had IG and IH, then this would go to IGH, and well, this would correspond precisely to the multiplication law of the group. Okay. So, but this is a very this is one particular example of such a separable Frobenius algebra, but now I want to say that there are also other examples. And there's this whole class. And so here, X is a topological defect, and it has this property, which is called it has invertible dimension, which means that if I encircle the identity in theory T1 by it, and I shrink this to zero size, then I obtain C times so some non-vanishing constant times the identity in T2. So this is quite a restrictive condition, actually. So now, if we have such a defect, then what one can do is to relate the one theory to the other via such a generalized orbifold construction. So let me illustrate this. So if you have a correlator in theory T2, let's say for simplicity it has just two bulk insertions, and this is just some local patch. I mean the of the Virl sheet. In general, I can have some non-trivial topology. So let me consider just this patch. Then I can, using this property, I can now create bubbles of this theory T1 and T2, and each comes at a cost of c to the minus 1, right? So that's why this is proportional, in this case to c minus 4. Now, since x is topological, I can now expand this to infinite size so that I obtain only reverse of theory T2 here, and most of the Virl sheet is now covered by theory T1. And here you can see always that the defect x comes together with its opposite. The opposite is indicated by this dagger. And in the limit, when I bring them together, I obtain precisely the defect A, which is just the fusion of x with its opposite. So in the end, I can relate the correlator in theory T2 to a correlator in theory T1 together with some network of defects where the twisted fields in theory T1, so the twisted fields are the ones that end on A, are in one-to-one correspondence to the bulk fields in T2. So in this way, I can think of the one theory as being the generalized orbifold of the other. Yeah?
Remind me, what is this strong condition? Is this strong condition that C is non-zero?
That C is non-zero.
Ah.
Yeah.
So you're saying for a generic topological difference between two theories, C will be zero?
Well, I don't know what the generic would mean, but yeah, it's quite a restrictive condition, yeah. So.
How do you find the directionality on these lines here? From here to there, on the bottom equation, from the left-hand side to the right-hand side, how do you choose the direction?
So, the defect always comes with an orientation, and this is basically how you define it, that x dagger tensor x is a, well, with the upwards orientation, let's say, when x is also with the upwards orientation. That's by definition.
Okay. This is the pictures are for coordinate space. Are they?
It's space.
Yeah, it's the Virl sheet. Some local patch on the Virl sheet.
It's Euclidean spacetime.
Yeah.
The features are Euclidean spacetime.
Okay. So this was just in the presence of bulk fields, but you can also imagine that one has also D brains or defects, and then the brains that are equivariant with respect to this A are then in one-to-one correspondence to the brains in the other theory. So, and this gives rise to an equivalence of D-brain categories. So let me just mention one interesting result in the case when the theories are rational conformal field theories. So rational CFTs are theories where you have just a finite number of highest weight representations. So examples include the Virasoro minimum models or the Wessel-Meno-Witten models. And there one has the general result that if you have any two consistent rational CFTs with the same value of central charge and with the same left and right symmetry algebras, then these are related by a generalized orbifold construction. So the easiest example, which you might know, is the case of minimum models, where one has an ADE classification of the modular invariant, and there the A and the D series are related by an ordinary Z2 orbifold, whereas the A and the E series can be related by a generalized orbifold. Okay, so now I want to focus on the particular case of N equals 2 Landau-Ginzburg models. So what are these? These are simply two-dimensional quantum field theories given by this action, where one has a standard kinetic term and a superpotential term. So these theories are not conformal, in principle, because of the presence of the superpotential term. But one can show that if the superpotential is quasi-homogeneous, then the theory flows to an infrared fixed point. And then by standard non-renormalization theorems, the CFT in the infrared is characterized solely by the superpotential. So one can extract information about the CFT just from the properties of the superpotential. So one example when this can be done explicitly is the ring of chiroprimary fields in the n equals 2 CFT. And this corresponds on the Landau-Ginzburg side to the to this Jacobi ring, or this singularity. So there are actually many n equals 2 CFTs that can be described as infrared fixed points of Landau-Ginzburg orbifold. So this is in particular true for the n equals 2 minimal models, and more generally to the Kazama-Suzuki models. And also, as I mentioned at the beginning, Calabi-Yau convectifications in the stringy regime of the Kale moduli space can be described by Landau-Ginzburg orbifold. So in the simplest case, the way this works is that you have some Calabi-Yau hypersurface and some weighted projective space. And so the Landau-Ginzburg orbifold that describes this compactification at a certain phase of the Kale moduli space is described by the same polynomial that that defines the hypersurface, and by this orbifold group. And this can be generalized in various ways. Okay, so from now on, what I will discuss are actually the topologically B-twisted Landau-Ginzburg models. And so in particular, all the defects will be topological by construction. Okay, so how are now defects described in Landau-Ginzburg models? So if I have two Landau-Ginzburg models with superpotentials W and V, then the defects are described by so-called matrix vectorizations of the difference of the two superpotentials. So in general, matrix vectorization of some polynomial and some variables ui is a Z2 graded module over the polynomial ring in ui, which comes together with some differential on this module, which has the property that it squares to this polynomial times the identity. So in simple terms, matrix vectorizations are polynomial matrices that square to the given polynomial. Okay, so these are defects for Landau-Ginzburg models. Now, what are the junction fields? So if I consider some defect X and Y, then the junction fields between them correspond to the cohomology of this operator. So here I have the differential corresponding to y, and here the differential corresponding to x. And this is the Z2 grade of phi. So the Z2 grade corresponds to the Fermian number.
You mean the chiral?
Chiral, yeah. That's a very good remark. Yeah, chiral. Okay, and then the defect OPE. So the OPE of the junction fields then corresponds simply to a composition of the of these maps, so to matrix multiplication.
Okay, is it possible to explain what is matrix factorization in a simple way? I'm not familiar what is Z-graded, for example, model.
Oh, it means just that you can decompose the modulo into an even and an odd part. And the Z2 grading, the matrices have grading, so that means that a Z2 grade, and this corresponds basically to the difference between bosons and fermion, if you have bosonic or fermionic operators. Okay.
Defect B repeat that OPEs are not closed.
They're not. What do you mean by that?
I mean the on the other side of the equation, there can be non-defects that here is closed and the usual fields in the conformal family.
Sorry, here.
Kind of field inside the OPE.
There should be.
The kind of thing out of the OPE.
Pardon?
Yeah, you just kind of give it kind of thing, not the OPE.
Yeah, this is the OPE of the junction fields, not of
it's
of
not
the
OPE,
defect.
It's the kind of thing.
Pardon?
It is the kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the kind of ring, yeah.
Which is not the OPE.
Well, I mean, for chiral, well, it's non-singular, so.
Could be.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Was it the center?
Yeah, I mean, if I do P of X, like X, DX.
Ah, okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So it's the ring structure. Yeah, that's true. Because you mean that you in general you obtain some regular terms and.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Question: is the defect X supersymmetric in some way? I mean.
Yeah. Oh, so this I should have said. So these are B-type defects. So these are defects that preserve B-type supersymmetry. So that's part of, you know. Exactly. Okay. So these were the. This was the ring structure of the chiral field. Now you can also describe fusion in this matrix vectorization language, and that corresponds simply to the tensor product of matrix vectorization. So you take the grade Z2 graded tensor product of the corresponding modules, and with the differential on that is simply this. So there's a lot of structure that I could describe for matrix vectorizations. I won't have the time, so let me just describe some of it. So there's a special defect, the identity defect, where on both sides I have the same theory, and this defect shouldn't do anything. In particular, it should act like the identity. So the fusion of this defect with any other defect should be so. I tensor X should be X. And it turns out that this is described in the matrix vectorization language by this module together with this differential. This is in the case of one variable. And you can see that this really squares to the difference of these two. And more generally, the identity defect is given by this matrix vectorization. And also, what we will need for the description of generalized orbifolds is, well, I mean, to connect it to the ordinary orbifolds are the symmetry defects that I described at the beginning. And there, the matrix vectorization is basically the same, only here, now I twist by this group element G, which is by assumption a symmetry of the theory. That means it's a symmetry of the superpotential. Okay, so now it turns out that using this defect approach and matrix vectorization, one can actually compute arbitrary topological correlators in the theory. In that, one basically expresses everything in the correlator in terms of defects. And then since all these defects will be topological, one can evaluate this by composing all these defects and their junction fields horizontally and vertically. So it's best to illustrate this on an example. So if you consider a disk correlator, let's say with one bulk insertion and one boundary insertion, then first of all, I can view this boundary as a defect where on one side I have the trivial theory. Then I can view the bulk field as a field that lives on the identity defect. And now there's a canonical way how to adjoin this identity defect to the boundary, or more generally to any defect. And also there's a canonical way, so you can also, at this point, you can think of as this is a junction field between Q and its opposite, which goes to the identity. And there's also a canonical junction field that represents this point. And this is known very explicitly for Landau-Ginzburg models. This is discussed in this paper. So now, when you have everything expressed in terms of defects, now you can first fuse everything horizontally. So you can take the fusion of these defects and also of the corresponding junction field. And now you can take the product of this junction field. And in the end, you end up with just one bulk field. But this bulk field is in the trivial theory. So this is simply simply a constant. And now if one substitutes for all of these maps, then one obtains this residue expression. And this is actually the usual expression for topological discorrelators, which was derived by Kapustin and Lee using supersymmetric localization. Okay, so let me just mention that all of this can be very naturally formulated in terms of what is known as bicategories with adjoints. And in particular, what I described here can be understood as translating these physical correlators into diagrams in these bicategories. Okay, so now we basically know everything we need to know about Landau-Ginzburg models with defects. So we can now analyze Landau-Ginzburg orbifolds. So first in the bulk sector, one thing that one can study explicitly is the spectrum of Rameau-Rameau ground states and the spectrum of CC fields. So this was classically done in this paper. So there, what one finds is that the unprojected Rameau-Rameau ground states in the G-twisted sector have, in general, this form, where the action of some group element on, well, on the field is encoded in these formulae. So this is the action on the polynomials through such phases, and this is the action on the vacua. So now to reproduce it from the defect perspective, what we have to do is, well, these, as I explained at the beginning, the twisted fields correspond to fields between I and IG. So for this, one has to compute the cohomology between I and IG. And as I showed you before, these are given by some explicit matrix vectorizations. And the spectrum of this was already found in this paper. And one can see that this is, well, there's an isomorphism between these two spaces. So this is the unprojected spectrum. These are the twisted fields before projection. So now in the defect language, the group action is implemented by wrapping this defect AG around the twisted field. And so we have such a diagram. And this can be evaluated exactly in the same way as here, because here I have these invisible junction fields. And if one computes this explicitly, one can show that this way one reproduces precisely these phases. So for the chiral-chiral fields, there's a similar story, basically because for the unorbifolded Landau-Ginzburg models, one always has a spectral flow operator that relates the CC fields to the Rameau-Rameau ground states. So the unprojected spectrum is the same. But now the CC fields are in a different representation of the symmetry group. Basically, there's a factor of determinant more. And it turns out that this can be precisely reproduced by this other way of wrapping the the defect AG around the twisted field. Okay, so now, so this was how the ordinary analysis is reproduced for the special case AG, and now we want to generalize this. So, as I already mentioned, the generalization amounts to now allowing any defect A with the structure of a separable Frobenius algebra. And then we simply, in this generalized picture, the Rameau-Rameau ground states will be defined as the images of these of this projector, whereas the CC fields are defined as the image of this projector.
So if you have any two curies with one of these defects, are they usually invertible or not?
So what do you mean by invertible?
Can I use this condition of C, the C constant to be not zero? When you're trying to build A out of X test, so X
oh,
lambda.
So let me say
so
that.
If you take an X between two lambda and two curies,
yeah.
Is it going to have C equal to zero typically or not?
I'm not sure what typically means, but when one tries to do find such defects, it's mostly very difficult to find one that has an invertible dimension.
What is the condition?
I will come to that. Yeah. But let me emphasize that. So this was the defect of this form.
Yes.
And this is also just one special example. Okay?
Good.
Okay, so here I assume A to be general. And now, these are the RR fields. These are the CC fields. And so one expects that on for the Kairo-Kairo fields, one should obtain some ring structure. And this turns out to be true. So the natural product on the Kairo-Kairo fields is defined like this. Mm-hmm. And one can indeed show on this generalized level that this always this product lies always in the image of this projector, and also that this product is commutative. So on the other hand, for Rameau-Rameau ground states, one expects that to have a non-degenerate pairing. And so this is the topological bulk pairing in the generalized theory. So again, I take two Rameau-Rameau fields, ground states. I join them together, and this co-identity can be interpreted as the trace. This whole thing is now like something living just on the identity, you can imagine. And then I take just the ordinary trace of this one bulk field in the ordinary theory. So this is the definition of the topological bulk pairing in the generalized orbifold theory. And one has the consistency check that this is indeed non-degenerate on the space of RR ground states. So physically, this means that you have no null state. Okay. So one more thing that one can ask is, when are the RR ground states and the CC fields related to each other by spectral flow? So as I mentioned, before the orbifold projection in Landau-Ginzburg models, one always has the spectral flow operator. But this is not necessarily true for their orbifolds. So what is the condition that the spectral flow operator survives the orbifold projector? So the spectral flow operator can be naturally identified with the untwisted RR vacuum just by the operator state correspondence. And this, in the generalized orbifold theory, corresponds to the identity. So now the question is, when is this in the image of the RR projector? And it can be shown, again, just using the properties of A, that this is the case precisely if A is symmetric. And asymmetric is can be equivalently described by the condition that this map, this so this can be viewed as one operator on A, which is called the Nakayama automorphism of the algebra, that this is just the identity. So this is equivalent to the fact that this spectral flow operator survives in the generalized orbifold theory. And then if one has this, if gamma A is equal to 1, then one can indeed see that these two spaces are isomorphic. Namely, the two actions of A on the twisted field are related precisely by the Nakayama automorphism. So if this is identity, then the actions are the same and the two spaces are isomorphic. So this way we recover the and generalize this this ordinary condition on when the spectral flow operator survives. So for ordinary orbifolds, this Nakayama automorphism is given by this expression. And so the spectral flow operator survives precisely if this condition is satisfied. And this is a necessary condition for the Landau-Ginzburg orbifold to describe, to sit at a point of some Calabi-Yau Kähler moduli space. So because you can also think of the spectral flow operator in the geometric language corresponds to the holomorphic three form. Okay, so this was in the bulk. So how does it look on the boundary? So for ordinary orbifolds, the equivariant boundary conditions are described by G equivariant matrix factorizations. So this means that the matrix factorization comes with the representation of the symmetry group, such that the differential is equivariant with respect to it. So for the generalized orbifolds, the natural notion for an equivariant boundary is that there exists a representation of A on X. So that means that there is a special junction field connecting A to X such that it is linear and such that it's unitary. So these are the boundaries, the equivariant boundaries, and the boundary fields that are invariant under the group, so under the orbifold action, are the fields that commute with the action of A in this terms. And now if one looks at what this condition means for the special case of AG, in the case of matrix factorizations, one finds that this condition precisely reproduces the notion of G equivariant matrix factorizations. Okay, so now one can again study topological disk correlators. So there was a proposal for disk correlators for Landau-Ginzburg orbifolds due to Valka in this paper. And so it has, again, such a residue form as for the unorbifolded theory. But now one has to restrict to variables that are invariant under the group action, basically. And this was checked on several levels. So for example, checked by comparing this expression with the known values of D-brain charges in minimal models. And it was also checked to satisfy the Cardy condition. So from the in the defect approach, there's basically a canonical way how to define such a topological disk correlator unambiguously. So basically, you consider the disk with some boundaries insertion. And the bulk insertion will correspond, so a twisted bulk insertion will correspond to a field ending on A, and then you just adjoin A to the boundary by the natural action of A on Q. And again, this can be evaluated using the same way as I described before. And this can be evaluated very explicitly for any algebra A. And in the particular case when A is equal to AG, one reproduces precisely this proposal. Okay, so these are the topological disk correlators. Also, one has the boundary pairing, which is defined. So this is the pairing on the space of boundary field, which is defined in this way. And one can again check that this is non-degenerate for these theories. Namely, so more precisely, what this means is that there's such a pairing that pairs the boundary chiral sector together with the boundary Ramon sector. And more mathematically, what this means is that there's a serif functor on the category of A modules, which twists the action of A on Q, by this Nakayama automorphism. So this Nakayama automorphism, in general, brings you from the chiral sector or the Noether-Schwarz sector to the Ramon sector. Also in the bulk, as I showed you before, and also in the boundary. Okay, so one can also, so this was one further consistency check of the theory. One can also prove generally the Cardy condition. So the Cardy condition is basically open closed string duality. So it means that you can interpret the cylinder diagram either as a the cylinder diagram between two D-brains either as a overlap of two boundary states or as the trace in the open string sector. So in our setting, the proof is actually very simple. Namely, so here on one side, on the left-hand side, I have the overlap of the two boundary states. In the case when phi and psi is equal to 1, then this would be the overlap of the two boundary states. Whereas on the right-hand side, I would have trace in the open string sector. So how do I show this? So this boundary bulk map in the generalized orbifold theory is given by this diagram. So it assigns to a boundary field psi some bulk field ending on the defect A. If you imagine again that you can shrink this to zero size, then what you would obtain is just some bulk field ending on A. And so in order to, so this left-hand side will then be equal to the two boundary bulk maps and their overlap. So that means I join them with this defect A and take their bulk correlator. And now just using the general algebraic properties of A and these boundaries, I can, first of all, invert one of these loops so that I really obtain an annulus. And now, just by doing some of the algebraic moves, here I obtain the annulus together with the insertion of this A defect. And this can be interpreted as the projector in the open string sector. So this whole diagram is then just the annulus with the orbifold projector inserted, and this is just a trace in the open string sector. Okay, so we have such a simple proof of this Cardy condition in the generalized setting. Okay, so finally, let me describe these orbifold equivalences that I mentioned at the beginning. So this is in the special case when A is of this form. So how can one find such equivalences in the Landau-Ginzburg language? So this amounted to, so first of all, you have to find defects X such that this condition is satisfied, where this is invertible. So and if one has such a defect, then one can describe the one theory as a generalized or default of the other with this special algebra. So in the Landau-Ginzburg case, what this amounts to is to find matrix factorizations of the super of the difference of the two superpotentials, because these are the defects between the two theories, such that this expression is non-vanishing, because this expression precisely, so you can again view this as a kind of a diagram as I described before. And if you evaluate this diagram, you can show that this is again given by such a residue formula, and this is equal to C, and this should be non-vanishing. So to find an equivalence between two theories, two Landau-Ginzburg models, all you have to do is to find matrix factorizations of the difference, such that this expression is non-vanishing. So this was constructed already explicitly in the case of n equals 2 minimal models. Namely, in this paper, it was shown how to find the corresponding defect between the A and the D type singularities. And very recently, this was also constructed for two of the D type singularities and connected to the A type minimal models. So let me just recall that always you have to have on both sides, the theories have to have the same central charge, because otherwise this is a necessary condition for the defect to be topological. So and one obvious task would be then to classify all such defects that have invertible dimension. And this could this would then lead to new equivalences between Landau-Ginzburg models and then also their respective D-brain categories beyond the rational case where this general result is known. Okay, so let me summarize. So what I described here is how ordinary defects, ordinary orbifolds of two-dimensional theories can be described in terms of defects, and how this can be generalized by replacing the role of the symmetry group by some defect with the structure of a separable Frobenius algebra. So what we did is in our paper was to check that in the case of Landau-Ginzburg orbifolds, in this way one can recover all the standard results. And in some cases, like the Cardy condition, we even obtain a much simpler proof. And then also in using matrix factorizations and this defect approach, one can rigorously derive expressions for all topological correlators. And all of this can be carried over to the generalized setting, because it's only this algebraic structure of the defect that plays a role. And we did also some consistency checks on the theory, including the non-degeneracy of the bulk and the boundary pairings, and the Cardy condition. So in some future directions that one could pursue, is one of them is to understand the effect of discrete torsion from this generalized perspective, so especially the effect of on D-brains and defects. And also, as I mentioned on the previous slide, to look for new equivalences of this form between Landau-Ginzburg models. And since Landau-Ginzburg models also describe in particular, Calabi-Yau compactifications, this way one could obtain some new non-trivial equivalences between Calabi-Yau manifolds. Okay, so thank you.
Are there any questions?
So I guess Liouville 2 doesn't have any of these defects that you can just orbifold?
Liouville. I'm not that familiar with defects in Liouville theory, so you obviously have some topological defect in Liouville theory.
But I think they're not of this type, I think.
You should still be able to construct these symmetry defects, of this special form you can also orbifold in particular Liouville theory.
By which symmetry?
By some discrete,
But then you should be able to get a new modular invariant. This is true.
I don't know.
Any other questions? If not, let's thank Daniel.